me see your middle finger in the air. Wave it around like you just don't care. Let me see your dirty finger in the air.
Welcome to Cobras and Fire, part of the Decibel Geek Podcast Network. Are you ready for more podcast gold? Absolutely. Drink. Bartend another shot of whiskey. Oh, baby girl, come over here and kiss me. In your eyes, they look so enlightened. But you know it can be the white lightning. Right here's where the ladies all scream. And I take a double shot of your beam. You know it could be the tequila talking. But me and the boys about to do some rocking. Cause we like to party all night long. And this right here is our drinking song. Cause we like to party hard and strong. Come on everybody, let me hear you sing along. Let me hear you sing. Let me see your middle finger in the air. Wave it around like you just don't care. Let me see your dirty finger in the air. The party's right.
Welcome to Cobras and Fire. I'm your host, Luce Cannon, and I'm joined, as always, with the overreacting Baco. How are you, sir?
Who the fuck you calling overreactive?
I rest my case.
I am well, man. I'm happy to be talking to you again. Back to back, baby.
That's right. And if you heard the last episode, you know we are fired up and over insignificant shit. But
that's all we bitch about. That's the only thing that gets us mad, even at each other, is stuff that doesn't matter.
Hollow barking.
Yeah, hollow barking indeed.
Another great show. We're going to cover a lot of concerts. Continue the whole concert talk, I believe. Yes.
Yeah. It's been busy for us. So.
It has. We are also journalists, respected journalists.
Respected rock journalists.
Respected
for sure.
rock journalists that aren't from Canada that have been covering concerts and live tweeting. Do you live tweet when you're at the shows or not?
That's all I do, actually. The thing is that, like, I live tweet so much at shows, I don't actually remember the shows.
I understand. You're just doing your job.
Yeah, doing my job.
That's right. So, yeah, man, I think this will kind of set the tone for the episode. If I could just get something out that's been building this week, it's been a hell of a week.
You need to get something off your chest, it sounds like, and it's not Vicks.
No, it is not. So can I continue, please? Do you mind if I just have the floor for a moment?
The floor is yours.
Okay. Question for you. Some of the tension that we have, you and I, is when you send me show outlines or information and I respond with a question that you've already answered in the actual message, correct?
Once in a while, yeah.
Just this, where I added the whole thing about...
I think a better way to put it is that, like, I'll ask you three things. And you will only answer the last thing. Like, the first two things are, by the time you got to the third question, it's like, what time do you want to start? What day is it? And is this cool? And you'll only answer, is this cool? As if, like, the first two questions were just gone. But, yeah.
They were higher up on my screen. I didn't see
that. Yeah. It's like, once you've read them, it's like you can only focus on the very last thing you read. Anyway.
That pretty much summarizes my existence, yeah. I have to tell you. But yes. So I'll give you an example. So when it has to do with social things, yes, I do scan and dismiss things. But when it comes to – and I apologize for that, Paco. But when it comes –
Oh, thank you.
Yes. So when it comes to actual business transactions, email things, you know, somebody sends you at your job a question, I look at that email in detail and make sure that I've read it in full before I respond. Because there's nothing more that pisses me off is when I call, like, customer service, kind of like your whole Kiss World – or not Kiss World, but your 45th anniversary Kiss album thing. And he just fires you up. You're like, did you not hear what I just said? So can I just give you things that maybe have happened to you that I would like to explain that pisses me off?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Okay. I make a lot of mistakes. But one mistake I do not make is when somebody sends me an email – and they sign it with their name, and I respond to them, I do not misspell their fucking name, okay? I have people all – does this happen to you sometimes? They write like Bako, like B-O-K-K-O, after you've signed it Bako. Does this happen?
I'm more likely to call Jason.
Well, sure.
That's honestly, I don't run into that a lot. No, I don't.
Okay. Well, I have things like they'll I'll sign it, you know, Loose Cannon, and they'll write like Lose Cannon, L-O-S-E, Cannon, which actually, if you add
a story,
if you add an apostrophe, that's like a command to me.
One of the earliest hate mails we got called you Lose Cannon.
So but anyway, like, that is not that difficult. I also do you have things where, like, you've explained everything and then the question is in the email something you've already fucking explained? Yes,
absolutely, especially at work.
Okay, all right. So that just comes to my whole thing is people don't listen or read anymore, like I do in social situations, but in business, you should listen to. So I have told you about the issue at Einstein Bagels, right? When I got cut off, I was nice to somebody.
I love Einstein Bagels, the honey walnut.
Yeah. So I told you about a time when I hold the door for somebody, and then they just cut right in line for me, and now I'm behind them, and they order like an extravagant.
Sorry, that was
order.
Your bad, bro.
Yeah. Okay. Fine. But the point is, I go to this one Einstein's probably two or three times a week, and I deal with the same person at the register all the time. So can I please explain an order that I'm about to make and the interaction I have with this person every day? Yes?
Yes. Please okay. do.
I go in there, and my order is simple. Like you say at Einstein's, what should be only the norm?
They should only sell coffee, bagels, and cream cheese. Nothing else.
That's right. Not an extravagant order. So my order is exactly in your rules for a bagel shop, okay? I go in there, and I say, good morning. How are you? They said, I'm good. Thanks for asking. And I say, I would like a blueberry bagel toasted, a medium coffee to go. Would you like to hear what she says back to me every day?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
She says, what kind of bagel would you like? I say, blueberry, toasted. Would you like anything on it? No, just plain. What size coffee? Medium. And is this for here to go? To go. At this point, this week, I finally said, why don't you tell me what I want to eat and drink?
When the interaction starts, does she actually say, how can I help you? Or are you, you're basically talking to a blank slate and you just decide, well, you're clearly not going to ask me, so I'm just going to place my order.
No, she asks.
So she asks and then basically ignores everything you says and then makes you repeat the entire thing.
That's right.
As she goes through her process.
I'm pretty sure she's fucking with me at this point, okay?
But maybe she listens to the show.
I think she does. This is the guy that holds the door and gets fucked.
Well, I don't understand, Loose Cannon, why you get a bagel with nothing on it.
Because I don't need it.
That's your choice.
It is. I like it toasted, a little bit of Christmas to it, and I enjoy the bagel itself. I don't need things to camouflage the overall taste experience.
Well, I can tell you that I've never had to experience this, but I already know that I do not enjoy being the guy behind you.
All right, Paco. So we have yet another contributor to our very popular, innovative campaign, the Buy Us a Beer campaign, the Absolutely Drink campaign. Who contributed this time for this episode?
A guy that I think going forward, I'm just going to call Jay-Z. It's a lot easier than saying Jay Zablewski.
Yeah.
But Jay Zablewski, of course, he was he introduced himself to me last year at Rockin' Pod 2.
Yep.
And we've already talked about him just being like, he was such a fan of so many shows and just a fan of podcasting in general. And the exact type of person that an event like Rockin' Pod is put on for. So I look forward to seeing Jay again this year. Hopefully he's going to make it. And you can finally meet the legend, as I will continually call Jay-Z going forward. But yeah, Jay-Z was kind enough to buy us a beer. And what's the beer he bought us, Luce?
He bought, which I have in front of me, a PBR, a 24-ounce silo. Is that what you call them?
Yeah, that's what we call it in Minnesota. Yeah, that was I could either buy a six-pack of 16-ouncers or one 24-ouncer.
Yes.
And it was only a dollar less.
It is absolutely ridiculous. I am looking at this thing, and I am looking at it like this is a challenge. Like when you – this to me –
Really? I had at least three of these at the Overkill concert.
Wow, that's impressive. Now, all I have to say is that I'm looking at this, and this is looking like the 96er from The Great Outdoors, the John Candy.
Ooh, nice.
So I am – this is going to be a challenge.
It is a big beer. Yeah, you go first.
Okay. I can't remember the last time I had a PBR because I'm a snobby beer asshole. So let's –
But this is also a hipster, though.
It is. Isn't it odd that somehow they marketed themselves to PBR? Because this will be more expensive than Miller Lite sometimes when you go to a bar, right?
Okay. Not too often, but about – yeah, sometimes. Okay. It's usually like the special. It's like everything else is $8 and this is $6.50.
Okay. So this has been brewed since 1844 when no other beers were available. And let's see here. It has a nice blue label. Does this one actually get – it looks like – that it gets it turns a certain color when it gets cold, like the Coors Light can. I think it does.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you got a different can than I did. Are you sure you got just a regular Pabst Blue Ribbon?
I did. It says original Pabst Blue Ribbon beer, so that identifies it. It's made in the fine.
Okay.
No, it's made in the Milwaukee, Wisconsin, the place with just a weird smell, right?
As you Milwaukee, yes.
Mm-hmm. So let's see what this smells like and what all the hipsters like.
All right, you first.
My God, it smells like a man bun. Okay, let's see here. I sense a little bit of neck beard. Okay, let's see here. Hold on. And a little bit of wax mustache. But anyway, let me drink here. Hold on. It's fine. Oh, whoa! That aftertaste is no. This is I will take Coors Light, Miller Light, Natural Light, all these over there, and I'm not making a joke. Like that ending, like hit is very interesting. So continue. Yeah, what is your?
You need to have a third one before you really feel it.
So let's. What is your review? It sounds like you've had many. You don't even need to open it. But
yeah, no. But I'm going to, if that's all right.
Go ahead.
I only buy this when it's the cheaper option at a concert.
Really?
And I plan on having three or more. If I'm only going to have one or two beers, I will never pick this. I will tell you this. I tried to buy this at Total Wine, but they refused to sell it to me because I wasn't wearing a knit cap.
Oh, is that right?
It's like, dude, it's 78 degrees out. Why aren't you wearing a fucking winter hat?
Sure, but I have to tell you, I didn't have any issue checking out at Total Wine because I was actually chewing on avocado toast when I was in line.
You know, after two drinks, I like Macklemore.
Sure. I'm already starting to dig into Radiohead's catalog.
I haven't had enough yet. I'm only a Square Wheels fan right now. A couple more sips, I'll be basically balls deep into Kid A. Jay-Z, baby. Thank you very much for contributing to the show and helping us out, and for basically, honestly, just for being a guy who supports podcasts in general. So
sure. So can I tell them how to do this, and we can go into the?
Yeah. How if somebody else is listening, going, I want to be the next Jay-Z. Sure. How do they do that?
Sure. So you can go to GoFundMe.com/AbsolutelyDrink, or for your convenience, you can go to the Shop Now tab on top of our Facebook page, which is Facebook.com/CobrasAndFire. Baco, anything else you want to mention before we go into a song?
Sure. If you'd like to help the show out in any other ways that don't cost you $5, go ahead and like us on Facebook. That is facebook.com/CobrasAndFire. Follow us on Twitter @CobrasFire. If you'd like to join in the shenanigans and get some more of the off-color conversations that the listeners and us have, and, you know, go back and forth with us, we have a private group on Facebook called Cobras on Fire. And we recently realized how to accept new members. Leave us a rating and a review on iTunes, Podchaser, or anywhere that'll let you, really. Or just comment on any of our posts. We might bring it up on the show. And, of course, be like our friends, Kenneth Roy or Lisa A. Jackson, and share any episode that tickles your fancy. Find us on SoundCloud, Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Podcast Addict, and pretty much anywhere you can listen to any podcast that you like. So we're worldwide, baby. You know, we've been talking a lot about concerts, so that's because we've been going to a lot of concerts.
Yes.
And it sounds like you have something else you want to talk about.
Sure. So I saw this concert that was also a beer fest pop-up that I believe it was a different location last year, but it's called Sabrosa Fest. It's in the second year, and they have it in California, in Salt Lake City in Utah, and Denver. And it is a craft beer, taco, and music festival with Mucho Libre Wrestling. So here's the thing. The hook was unlimited tastings of over 150 different craft beers that goes from noon from noon into four. And the price of this thing was $40.
Wait a second. What? You get to taste 150 different beers made it in 150 different places from noon to four, but Jeff Tate takes you to like 10 vineyards over 8 days?
I know this is just packing it in. It's more efficient. So, yeah. So the lineup on this thing was the Vandals, Black Flag with a fake Henry Rollins, which is pointless.
Black Flag was there.
Yeah, Black Flag was there. Strung Out, the Dwarves, who are the fuck they are. And but my selling point was the beer and Bad Religion, who I've never seen. I'm a big fan of. I'm not that big of a punk fan, but Bad Religion has always broken through for me. So point is, $40, which is actually less than usually a beer fest is with no entertainment. But I just want to go into beer fest in general. Have you ever been to a beer fest with all the tastings?
I have not.
Okay, so basically you're given when you enter a 2 ounce.
They don't have a lot of all you can drink Coors Light beer fest.
Okay, well, anyway, you're just staying in one. You're just like just standing next to a keg the entire time with your 2 ounce cup, which is what they give you.
Yeah, you have a canopy, a handful of kegs, and a porta potty.
Well, that's what a beer fest is. Those are going to. Is it's pretty funny because you're paying to basically have a teeny tiny like you're a giant. You feel like a giant with this tiny little cup walking around with it, and you can get 2 ounces at a time. You wait in this lines, and essentially for 4 hours, all you're doing is drinking and pissing. Okay. That's your plan. What are you doing today? I am drinking a shitload of liquid, getting fucked up and pissing. What else are you doing? Well, in this case, I'm going to watch a bunch of shitty wrestling during the same time.
That sounds like an average weekend for me.
Okay, fine. But so this is at this place called Fiddler's Green Amphitheater, which holds about holds about 15,000 to 20,000 people. This place probably had 12,000. There was probably at the because it was earlier in the day, probably 8,000 people roughly in this beer fest area. Now, based on those numbers, how many porta potties do you think they had there?
Seven.
Four. Okay, first off, I'm not sure how this is legal, but the thing is that...
Wait, hold on, let's just stop there for a second.
Yeah, go ahead.
Why is this okay? Because remember we talked about this with Northern Invasion? The first year, they basically had a mile of porta potties, and by the second year, it was like, we need to really scale down the porta potties.
what's the rental fee on a portable shit house is my question.
That's where they're saving their money. It's just, come on. Anyway, carry on.
Yeah. So there's, you can imagine the mile long line for these four pissers, you know, for this section. But again, this is not the only place you can take a piss. You can leave this area and go into the actual amphitheater where they have ample bathrooms. Well, but
I get that. That's more fair.
Well, no, but the point is that nobody seemed to understand this because the line was crazy long, and because I am not part of the unwashed masses, I left and used the facilities inside the amphitheater. All I could think about is my buddy that I was with, Steve, is always when I go to these concerts. He looked at the line and said, this line in front of these bathrooms are robocallers' target audience. Point is, I hope this expands because this was kind of like a baby Lollapalooza to me. And what I mean by that is just the fact that there was more events going on. It was a fun vibe for the day.
Yeah, that's cool.
But I will tell you, it was like the journey of Frodo in Lord of the Rings to get through these shitty bands to get to Bad Religion. And first off, Bad Religion, if they come to your town, go see them. They're spot on if you like them, and it was worth the journey. But I have to tell you, it was a good thing I had 150 different varieties of swill in my brain to make it through the fucking Dwarves and hack Black Flag. But yeah, man, it's a very unique festival. If it's in your town, go.
virgin in February, couldn't stop the worst.
Well, did you hear about the herpes outbreak at Coachella?
How could I not? I mean,
yeah, or as I'm from this point forward going to refer to Coachella as Coach Herpes.
Yes, I think that's a good tagline. And the only thing that can make it better than Firefest is if the arugula they were promised had herpes on them.
I do think Firefest and Coach Herpes is this is karma. You know, this is like, you know. You're all doing everything you're doing for the wrong reason, and you're the worst of the world. As long as like something sort of bad happens to a major Kardashian player, my theory will be proven.
When we're talking about karma real quick, I'm not sure if you saw this, but as we were talking about Danny Wimmer Presents, you know, his so Epicenter, which used to be Carolina Rebellion, had crazy weather, and there was one day that was completely canceled. And the redo of Rock in the Range, Sonic Temple, also had crazy weather and had a terrible situation. So I say that's karma. I think that's the rock gods on that end, too.
Yeah, because we both are – our gut feeling is that, like, he's the shyster in the situation with him and AEG, right?
Right.
Because he's had a pretty nice write-up in some industry mag about how he's, like, changing the culture of the festival in America.
And don't forget that last year, Louder Than Life, a friend of the show, Josh Toomey, was heading to it, and that was completely – I think there was floods there. Yep. So
they moved to a different location to avoid that this year.
Yes. So it is like the plagues in the Old Testament that is happening to this man.
So Danny Wimmer, we look forward to all the press credentials you can get.
Continue.
Last year, you and I both got to see Judas Priest, but they're still touring, Luz.
I know. They're supporting their album Firepower, but now they're with inexplicably the most boring co-headliner. What is the name of him? Uriah Heep?
Oh, right. Really?
I'm pretty sure that's what they're
right. Yeah, I have no idea.
Uriah
I just know that,
Heep.
Uriah Heep.
No, name one song by them right now.
Easy Living.
Are you done? Is there another one?
You said name one.
Okay, but is there a second that the average human being would know?
Easy Living.
Okay. The remix of Easy Living.
The Wasp cover. Only reason I even know that song. Fellow podcasters, I believe they call themselves the Kings of Podcasting. Of course, I'm talking about Ian Wadley and Ralph Vieira of the Rock and Metal Combat podcast. They took in a show together in, this is your neck of the woods, right? Back in the day, Hollywood, Florida.
Yes, yeah, at the casino that Eddie Trunk
owes. The Hard Rock Events Center.
Right. Eddie Trunk always intros everybody by saying, hello, I'm Eddie Trunk, and here's this band, and somehow he gets paid for that.
And he's like, I'm going to go take my flannel shirt off and get a handy from a street hooker. And
I don't think that's how it goes, but
but anyway, they went to the show, which piqued my interest, so I checked out the set list, and Judas Priest is really fucking up the... I love the show I saw. I thought it was a really well-balanced set list. I even didn't mind that there was four songs from a new record. They currently blew that out of the gate with only one song from the new record.
I noticed that.
But my God, they open up with Necromancer. That's the first time they've ever played that. And then the Sentinel? Are you fucking kidding me?
Well, hold on. Before you even go into the whole set list, I mean, how awesome is the fact that this old school band that could just, like bands we know, could just same show every night and do nothing else? I mean, they went deep on this, right?
Yeah, and it's like, you're right. They didn't have to, but they did.
Continue, please. And
so, yeah, and you also know that I'm not a huge set list guy. I'm like, whatever. I like the show or I didn't.
Right.
But every now and then, oh, my God, you just see something. It's like, wow. Headed out on the highway.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen that live.
Already these three songs we didn't see.
Right, yeah. Spectre, never been played before. Take These Chains, my God. I would have loved to have seen that. It turns out they've never played that before. Judas Rising, which is off their Judas is Rising record.
Sure.
But still, not a single song we saw. And my Lord, I probably would have had to pull my pants down and made people look at my erection for the next track, Out in the Cold. I love that fucking song. First track, side two of Turbo.
The basic Judas Priest singles person has never, they're like, what? You've gone seven or eight songs in. I don't know any of them.
This is like me at a Dave Matthews concert. If you've never heard Judas Priest, it's like, I don't know what he's playing right now. When is he going to play What Would You Say? There is not one fucking hit song yet. Not an obvious Priest track. And we're seven songs in. Traitor's Gate. I don't even know this fucking song, Liz.
I don't know either.
It's the first time they played it. Starbreaker, the first time since 2012. Steeler, first time since 2009.
That'd be fun to see.
Halls of Valhalla, the live debut. We are 11 songs in, and they haven't done anything anybody that would know by Priest.
Nope.
I mean, Paul Stanley had left, you know, by the third song. He went to see the Rolling Stones and then left that because he didn't hear Jumpin' Jack Flash right away.
Understandable.
Yeah. A Killing Machine is next. Again, what the hell? No Surrender. Victim of Changes. Finally, we see a song that 14 songs in, you get a song you've probably seen at every Priest concert.
What, Victim of Changes?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
All Guns Blazing. First time since 1991.
Is that off of Painkiller?
Yeah, I don't know.
That's my point. These songs, I mean, I have, like I said, I was a late bloomer to the Judas Priest catalog. I can identify only half these songs so far.
Oh, I can identify more than that, but I'm just like, I love how deep they went. Now, the last three, Hellbent for Leather, Breaking the Law, and Living After Midnight. Kudos to Judas Priest for being a metal band, taking a chance and going out there and doing something a little bit different and not going, oh, we can't ever change our set list because lighting and pyro. Oh, give me a break.
It's ballsy not to even include another thing coming. Like, I actually might be kind of disappointed with that set list.
They might have gone too far.
Because I would want Turbo, I would want this and that. I would think like half of those. That's almost too aggressive.
I don't know. I mean, the ones that I lost, I think they made up for me.
Well, I know what you're saying. It's definitely a I think at this point, because it's their second leg of doing the same
thing. Man, but this is... Remember when Kiss did the Lost Cities tour and there was two songs that were different?
I know what you're saying.
And those songs were songs that you knew already too? I mean, it's just like... I've never really seen a metal band do something like this.
No, it's pretty extreme. The only thing I can think of is similar is Iron Maiden flipping the script.
Yeah, definitely Iron Maiden. I get good point. Because they did that thing where they did like three tours in a row where the first tour was early, the second tour was the middle stuff, and the third tour was the stuff after that.
Which is pretty fun. I mean, it would be great for the bands you love to know that there's a different assortment every time they come to your town.
Drowned.
Well, this National Treasure, Ice-T, was in the news recently via Twitter. Yeah, it turned out he almost killed an Amazon driver delivery guy.
Yeah, okay. I have not seen this yet. So what prompted the drop-off of I'm sure it was because of a delivery of Kiss World, right?
He got Kiss World, looked at it, saw the track listing, which, by the way, was available for anybody to read before they purchased it.
and it killed him just because of that.
But yeah, so apparently Ice-T ordered something on Amazon and he was being delivered to his house. But what Ice-T wasn't prepared for was a guy who just looked like a dude showing up and poking around his windows. He tweeted out, "Message to Amazon, now that you have regular people making your home deliveries, maybe they should wear a vest with Amazon delivery on it. I almost shot a motherfucker creeping up on my crib last night." This is the best part. Just saying, Ice-T.
It is odd that now I have random people showing up in either cars. They show up in, have you seen this? They just show up in whatever car they own. Yeah,
I don't like it. I'm actually with T on this.
Yeah.
I just don't have a GAT. You know what I mean? I'd have to run upstairs and get the baseball bat that I keep under my bed, come back downstairs, make sure the cats didn't get on the porch, and then beat a motherfucker.
Yeah, it's very odd. First off, they shouldn't be looking in windows. They basically should be just pitching, like tossing it on your front porch,
making it obvious and clear for anybody that wants to steal it.
Yeah, exactly. Make sure you have a fake camera up front to make them think that you're actually filming.
They have a real camera. The cops aren't going to do anything anyway.
That is true. Yeah, they really don't care. It's like
police do jack shit when it comes to personal theft. No, they take a report and when our house got broke into and Amy's credit card was used and my laptop was sold at a pawn shop, you literally saw, through my bank, I gave them a timeline and a location at 13 places that they went to. And damn, fuck me if these places don't have cameras. The cops never did a fucking thing. So, no. Yeah.
Same thing with me. I have security cameras in the back of alley. And I had my car window smashed, laptop taken. And I have their full profile face on camera, the car that's in the alley, the license plate, every single thing. They don't care. It's like, why do you even have security cameras? You're just watching yourself get robbed and nothing happens. Well, let's watch this. It's in a little movie. Remember this one? You just put it on, but just play it for the kids.
Yeah, you're not wrong. I mean, it's like, what the fuck? I mean, and then on top of that, like a year after we got our security system, they passed an ordinance that said, like, if the cops get called on too many false alarms, you get fined.
Charged. Yeah. So anyway, like, that's enough old man fist waving. Yes. Yeah, well, what else you got besides Ice-T killing people?
Well, I thought are we done with that? I mean, it's like, that's pretty awesome, right? I would love to see Ice-T kind of fucking come out like he's got Coco behind him and he's like, "You picked the wrong house, motherfucker."
Yeah, that would be great. And then he just goes back to working at SVU.
He's like, "Yeah, it's season 25.
Talk about National Treasure. He's gainfully employed for 2 decades. He randomly goes and does his metal band, and he's got his rap career in the back. He's fighting Tipper Gore. He is a national treasure.
Yeah, I came home from work the other day. I was tired. I just wanted to sit back in my big chair and play a little Xbox. You know, relax a little. Then my wife comes in. She starts telling me I play too much Xbox. I said, what the fuck do you mean? This is just how I relax. Can I just play a little Xbox? Then she says, I saw on Oprah today that guys that play video games don't love their wives. I'm like, motherfucking bitch, fuck Oprah. I don't give a fuck. the motherfuckers on Xbox. She said, you seem like you have an anger problem. Maybe you need some help. I'm like, bitch, call the police now. Gonna be in Stooge alive. You cut my brainwashed bloodshot eyes. You won't have anything to say. They'll brainwash you, GC, they way. I'm not crazy. Institution. You're the one that's crazy. Institution. You drive me crazy. Institution. They put me in an institution. Said it was the old solution to give me the professional help to save me from the enemy myself. The other day I go on the internet. I'm just trying to check my email. So I put in my password. It says I have an invalid password. I know my fucking password. So then it says go to customer service. So I get on customer service. I start talking to this dude. This motherfucker sound like he from India or some shit. He says to me, what's your first dog's name? I don't know what my fucking first dog's name was. What the fuck's the matter with you? I just want my password. Give me my fucking password. So then he ends up giving me my password. And he says, your password has been sent to your email address. I'm like, I can't get in my email address. What about can't get in my email address? Do you not understand, motherfucker? He says, oh my God, it seems like you have an anger problem. You should have that checked out. Ah! I'm not crazy. Institution. You're the one that's crazy. Institution. You drive me crazy. Institution. You put me in an institution. Said it was the old solution to give me the professional help to save me from the enemy myself. The other day, I'm just sitting alone on lunch break at my job, trying to eat a ham sandwich. Got a little potato chips in the side, a little Kool-Aid. This motherfucker walks up to me and says, are you gonna eat that? Like, yeah, I'm gonna eat that. What the fuck you think I'm gonna do? Shove it up your ass? Do you understand that that pork could kill you? Look, motherfucker, pork is not gonna kill me unless they figure a way to shoot it out of a fucking gun. But I might kill you. Says, hey, calm down. I'm a vegan. Fuck a vegan. I could give a fuck if you eat sawdust, motherfucker. Just step away from my fucking sandwich. He says, do you realize how much sugar is in that Kool-Aid? I said, do you realize how much blood is in the human body? Do you want to see it, motherfucker? He said, oh my God, you need therapy. You have an anger problem. Ah, I'm not crazy. Institution. You're the one. Institution. You drive me crazy. Institution. You put me in an institution. Said it was the old solution to give me the professional help to save me from the enemy myself. Suicidal.
Yeah. But there's another national treasure I'd like to talk about.
Yeah, who's that?
May, and that's Bret Michaels.
Ooh.
You alerted me of this. Can you please elaborate? I have not read it yet, but I am intrigued by the headline.
Well, we also have to thank Chris Sinzek for this one.
our new source now.
Yeah, apparently, yeah. He's the guy who's like tipping us off on all the good stuff.
Sure.
Yeah, Poison frontman Bret Michaels' latest project is something called, and I'm not sure how to even pronounce this. It's like CC Crockfest or CCC Rockfest.
It's three C's.
It's three C's, yes. But it's like Crockerfest.
Is that because of CC DeVille? Is he involved?
Yeah, I wouldn't think so because the Poison is not involved. Okay. But it does seem odd that it's CCC Rockerfest. Mm-hmm. Anyway, according to the article, Michaels is in serious talks. You know, that's important to mention that it's serious with celebrity chef and friend, with your buddy, Guy Fieri, as well as several artists, stadiums, amphitheaters, and arenas to make this an unbelievably great and engaging experience for fans and artists alike. The festival will have several dates in 2019 and the official kickoff in spring of 2020. So it's like he's trying to do his own little Ozfest.
I see. An Ozfest that starts with three C's. And how would you like to see Bret Michaels and Guy Fieri just hanging out together? Is that the most obnoxious two humans in close proximity to each other? They haven't announced any bands, anything like that. It's just a general announcement of something that has a perfectly rated name, by the way.
we should speculate. Who are the bands going to be?
Oh, boy.
Bret Michaels' daughter playing acoustically?
I didn't know she was in the music business.
It's going to be the Bret Michaels band. It's going to be Bret Michaels solo. This sounds an awful lot like a Gene Simmons project is all I'm getting at.
Yeah, I got to tell you, there's definitely bongos involved.
Oh, you know it. Yeah, there's a Bret Michaels bongo zone.
Everybody gets a headband with admission.
There's a special section for people that are butthurt called the Ricky Rocket Zone.
There is a hair extension booth.
$5 discount if you wear your sunglasses on the back of your neck.
You get half off if you wear jeans that would set off a metal detector with what's on the butt.
Do you think it's called...
A lot of flair.
Do you concert. Think it's called CCC Rocker Fest because Bret Michaels confused the letter C with the letter D because Diners, Dives, and Drive-Ins?
Or maybe the actual concert isn't 3D and you thought that's how you spell it. It's just 3Ds in a row.
Well, there's also sew-on cowboy hats available.
Ooh, good.
Where yes, they sew it into your scalp.
It never leaves. You sleep in it.
And also appearing is Bette Midler.
Bette Midler's there. Okay.
Yeah, why not? Let me mention that true to Bret's soul, each show will have a charitable element, not to mention top athletes, movie/reality stars. Give me a break, man.
Reality stars.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? By reality stars, he means himself and the girls he fucked on Rock of Love. musicians and celebrity chefs. He's already got Guy Fieri on. Who do you think else he's going to have on? I mean, this does not seem Bobby Flay kind of thing. Maybe who's that white plantation owner butter chick? What's her name?
Oh Jesus! The lady that just puts butter in everything, butter in her cereal.
Paula Deen, yeah, she's going to be there. She'll call everybody sugar.
Sure, and she also has a contest called "Can you name the amount of racial slurs faster than I can?"
She's got a game called Guess the Help. Oh my God! Apparently, some of the chefs are going to do some pop-up cooking and singing. What's the celebrity chef you want to hear saying?
I love the fact this is basically Bret Michaels' version of Firefest, where he's just making it up on the fly. He has nobody signed, and the end result will be exactly as you would expect it. I'm thinking this is going to be a lot like one of those fests where a bunch of big names are announced and then everybody cancels 2 weeks before.
He's got two things locked down: the name and styrofoam containers.
He'll be both having a bad attendance and killing the environment at the same time.
But a quote from Bret Michaels is, "Please know that I designed this not just as an artist." Well, of course you didn't because, you know. But as a fan who would like to enjoy the ultimate block party festival. This thing just reeks of failure.
I got to tell you, I'm pretty sure this is going to be held in the parking lot of a diner. I'm pretty sure that the current lineup of Quiet Riot is headlining. And that is where the reality star is.
Luis, you ready to get out of here?
Please.
Rock's not dead.
But it's perfectly rated.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune into Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.